From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Madeline Baxter with this look at local and regional news. The remaining 20 passengers stranded for almost 2 weeks aboard the Matanuska left on Friday. That's because the state plans to send the ship from Juneau to Ketchikan for repairs. I visited the boat on Friday and filed this story. In the engine room of the Matanuska, substitute captain Gabriel Bayless points to a long mesh-covered pipe lying on the floor with other parts.
This is the suspected culprit right here. This is a cooling tube.
The ferry's mechanical problems came to a head as it was sailing from Petersburg to Juneau in late January.
You can see when the oil got contaminated, it caused the oil to get hot, really hot, and the steel actually warped from the heat. So these are all this. Components need to be replaced.
Bayless says these parts are supposed to last years before showing signs of wear. They've only been in service since the fall. Luckily, that means they're under warranty. In 16 years with the Alaska Marine Highway System, Bayless has had to deal with his fair share of mechanical problems on board. But there was always another ferry to pick up the slack. Not this time.
In this case, all of the boats are either in layup or they're undergoing repairs down in Ketchikan or renewing certificates of inspection or whatever, so.
That's Department of Transportation spokesman Sam Dapsevich. The state estimates the boat won't be back online until early March. That leaves passengers like Rex Lauber on their own. The Palmer resident has been waiting on board the Matanuska since it broke down. Earlier in the week, the state let him and the other remaining passengers know they needed to be off by the end of the day Friday. Lauber isn't pleased.
So, I've got two options. I can either be homeless in my car in Juneau, or I can put it on the barge today and pick it up in Haines on Tuesday, hopefully.
So is that your plan right now?
That's my plan.
He's just about the last passenger on board. The state chartered a private boat to get passengers without cars to Haines last week. Everyone else has been camped out in private staterooms, waiting for the ship to get underway. The state reimbursed the trapped passengers the full price of their tickets. Dapsevich says that should cover the cost of getting their cars on the barge and a flight to Haines. But the barge doesn't leave until Monday, so passengers will need to pay for hotel rooms and meals while they wait for their vehicles. Lauber doesn't anticipate getting home until Tuesday night.
This little jaunt here is costing me real close to the round trip cost.
Still, he says he doesn't plan to swear off ferries. His 91-year-old mother lives in Ketchikan, and he makes multiple trips each year to visit and take care of her. Plus, he hates flying. But the lack of reliable service does have other people re-examining their options. Captain Bayless moved to Olympia, Washington last year.
I thought it would be a better future for my children. We were about to build a large house in Haines, but with the present climate, I didn't think it was a good idea to invest in a town that doesn't have good ferry system service.
As Lauber packs up his car, Bayless thanks him for being a good sport about the whole thing.
The way you know you're having an adventure is when you'd rather be home talking about it.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a great story.
And I'm gonna tell lots of people.
Thank you.
The state hasn't made a final decision yet as to whether the Matanuska will be towed or run on its own power down to Ketchikan. And tourism has replaced timber as the primary economic driver in many places around Southeast Alaska. And it's a growing sector. Nearly 1.5 million people are forecast to visit the region this summer. But as Eric Stone reports from Alaska's Energy Desk, some residents don't want to see tourists in places that usually serve as refuges for locals.
I'm walking up Ketchikan's Carlana Lake Trail with my guide, longtime Southeast resident Kathy Russo. We clamber around a fallen tree blocking part of the trail and stroll onto a fishing pier.
Wow.
Yeah, look at that. Cool. So this is Carlana Lake.
Broken shards of ice cover the man-made lake just outside the Tongass National Forest. Until the late 80s, the reservoir served as Ketchikan's primary water source. Today, though, Russo says it's just a great place to go enjoy the natural beauty of Southeast Alaska.
Like, for me, walking these trails is a mental, it kind of cleanses my mind. You know, it clears my head. I have a lot going on
Russo says it's a great way to avoid the hustle and bustle of Ketchikan's tourist-packed downtown. She says she comes out to Carlana Lake on a fairly regular basis during the summer.
You know, it's a kind of a local spot, and it's close to houses. You know, it's in a neighborhood.
So Russo was disappointed when she heard that a local company had applied for a permit to guide groups of tourists around the lake.
So I'm applying for a commercial hiking guiding permit through the Bureau of Land Management for the Carlana Lake Trail area.
That's Teague Whalen. He's an English professor at the local University of Alaska's Southeast campus.
And the owner and operator of Mindfulness Rainforest Treks, a hiking tour company that operates in the summers here in Ketchikan.
It's a one-man operation. For the past half decade or so, he's guided small groups of visitors along Ketchikan area trails. He says his customers choose a hike instead of more typical tourist activities in town for the same reasons as locals like Russo.
Absolutely. The term that comes to my mind is unplug. A lot of the customers I've had on the tours really appreciate getting away from all the people downtown.
But despite their common goal, Russo says she doesn't like seeing tourists on a neighborhood trail.
I mean, if we're walking up this road and there's a group of 20 people coming down the trail, and a narrow trail,
yeah. It
really does kind of ruin the experience.
Russo has other concerns, too. She's afraid tourists might leave trash, clog up the 10-stall trailhead parking lot, or simply wear out the trail. She says she's seen it happen elsewhere around Ketchikan. But more than that, she wants a voice in the process.
There needs to be more balance between the tourists and the locals. And I feel like we should be part of the decision-making on where those groups are going. And I don't feel like we are.
Whalen says he's sensitive to Russo's concerns.
I get that as a local who uses those trails as well. And so I think what needs to be happening more, and maybe this is a great way of opening that door, is figure out some kind of a multidisciplinary committee that is talking about what is a healthy balance for the tourism and local community.
He says even if that means more red tape, more paperwork, and more permits, he'd be okay with that. And he says residents have had their voices heard when it comes to keeping tours off trails. Many local trails, most of them on Forest Service land, don't allow guided groups. And his company wouldn't even be the first to guide tours on this neighborhood trail. Whalen says he's caught in the middle of a debate happening in cruise ports all over Southeast. When it comes to tourism, how much is too much? Back on the trail, Russo says that even if tour groups start making their way up toward Carlana Lake, it beats the alternative.
I guess I would rather have tour groups walking the trails than logging companies cutting all the trees. Because I think this forest has value.
How to divide that value among locals, tourists, and business owners, though, is an open question. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Eric Stone in Ketchikan.
Court documents say the state of Alaska has agreed to pay $550,000 to settle a negligence claim by the family of a man who died in jail. The Anchorage Daily News reported Joseph Murphy suffered a fatal heart attack in 2015 while being held in Juneau's Lemon Creek Correctional Center. An investigation found Murphy had a heart condition but was denied medication by guards. Murphy's family filed a wrongful death lawsuit in 2017. Murphy was not charged with a crime at the time of his death, but was in protective hold with a 0.16 blood alcohol level. Alaska troopers have recovered the bodies of a pilot and four passengers killed in a small plane crash. Alaska state troopers say all five people died after a Ute commuter service plane leaving Bethel crashed 12 miles south of Tuntutuliak on Thursday. Anchorage Daily News reported that a recovery team found the first body Thursday and the remaining four bodies Friday. Alaska troopers say the bodies would be sent to the Alaska State Medical Examiner in order to confirm their identities, and next of kin will be notified before the names are released. Taking a quick look at weather, it's currently 37 degrees with rain, fog, and mist at the Juneau International Airport. Tonight, rain before 3 a.m., then a slight chance of rain and snow, low around 32 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 36 degrees. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Madeline Baxter.